So, Father God, we just thank you this morning, Father God, as we assemble, Father God, for your word, Father God. And Father God, we want to pray for our sister Sabrina Gutierrez's mother, Father God, Teresa, Father God. You know the situation, Father God, and we pray for her healing, Father God. We pray, Father God, for people who are driving to be mindful of people who are not, Father God, as we hear these type of things going on. And it's enough going on in the world right now, Father God, where we don't need to have people driving recklessly, Father God, or not paying attention, Father God, or not realizing, Father God, that a text can wait. We know, Father God, that a text or whatever the situation may be, Father God, while you're driving is not more important, Father God, than a person's health, well-being, and life, Father God. So we just lift that situation up to you, Father God. And as we go on to our service today, Father God, we pray that none of us leave the same as we came, Father God. We pray for those who have to work, Father God. They have a day in you, Father God, that whatever goes on in their workplace, Father God, doesn't interrupt with the lesson and the word that they hear today, Father God, and that the enemy doesn't interrupt with their mindset on you, Father God. And we just thank you this morning, Lord. We give you all praise, honor, and glory this morning, Father God, because all of it belongs to you, Father God. And we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. So that's...
Smile on me. Anybody remember that? You've been good to me. Oh, yes, you have. I just sang it in 1990 on L Street. Saint God has smiled on me. 25 years later, still saying, He set me free, set me free. Still sing the same song. My, my. I'm singing God. Smile on me. You've been good to me. On L Street. Amazing grace. Lord have mercy. How sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. Anybody can say that with me? I once were lost. Lord have mercy. But now I'm found. Anybody remember? Was blind, but now I see. Help me say it, y'all. God, smile on me. Anybody remember that one? He has set me free. Oh, have mercy. As I look back over my life, I can testify that God smile on me. He's been good to me. That was my song. Oh, yes, he has. Here's a verse. I'm going to ask y'all a verse. Listen. Have we all had nights we toss and turn all night long? Oh, we cry tears sometimes because we didn't have peace of mind. Y'all remember that one? And when Satan whispered and told you, child, the Lord forgot. You know what happened, House of Hope? The Lord is stepping. The Lord is stepping. Oh, he's stepping right on time. Yeah, God. Come on, baby. You have a witness. Smile. He has set me free. And I give him glory this morning. I give him honor this morning. As I look back over my life, I can testify that God. He's been good to me.
He's been good to me.
Come on, y'all. He's been good to me. Anybody know that? He's been good to me. Have you been good to y'all this morning? Y'all know now. He's good in the evening. Say he's good in the midnight hour.
Good in the midnight hour.
Say he's good in the morning.
Good in the morning.
He said every time he's good in the evening.
Good in the evening.
He's good in the midnight hour.
Good in the midnight hour.
Listen. He'll warn you in the morning. Help me say it. Y'all don't got brand new. Y'all forgot it ain't been 11 years. Am I on somebody who can look back over my life and say, he's been good? Matter of fact, he's been better than me than I've been to myself. Could have been gone. Would have been gone. Should have been gone. In spite of all, he's been good. Had it been good? Had it been good? Had it been good? He's been good to me.
Amen. When I look back over my life, Pastor. Boy, ain't he been good? He done took, y'all excuse me, I have to get ready for work. I don't care how I look this morning. He done took me out to crack house. He done took me out to meth house. He done took me out to liquor store. He done took me out of that girl house. Y'all forgive me, but yeah. Lord have mercy, has he been good to me. I don't even care about going to work now. I feel better now. Y'all go ahead and preach, Pastor. Go ahead and preach.
Let's stop with that. let's go forward with that. Not stop. Go forward with that testimony. But I'm sure all of us could say that this morning. If you can't, well, then you better look to the hills from whence cometh your help, because he sure is there to help you, and he sure is good to us, and he gets us out a whole bunch of messes and straightens us up and puts us in a place that we never thought we would be. So we thank God this morning. So the message really is right there in the worship that we, songs that we have heard this morning. I'm still alive. You know, a lot of us say that with pride that we're still alive because we put ourselves in all kinds of jeopardy, you know, and God saw fit to let us stay here, and I thank him every morning because I'm still here, and I know it's by his grace and mercy that I'm still here. And then we heard that we got the victory. I just love that song. It just bears witness to my spirit. I got the victory. I got the victory. Just say it over and over again. You know, that the enemy doesn't have the victory. I have the victory, no matter what it looks like. So praise God, we're going to have just a little bit of the word this morning. This is Communion Sunday. I did send out a message, so those of you who did know that it was Communion Sunday, we are going to sit at the Lord's table, so we're going to get started here to share the word so we can have that time to sit at the Lord's table. And so this morning I am going to share with you a little bit about the lesson that we have learned that Jesus fed 5,000 people off of, what was it, 3 little fishes and 5 loaves of bread. I believe is how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. That's what he had, this little boy had. And Jesus had been speaking to the multitudes, and those folks had been sitting patiently all day listening to Jesus expound to them the word. Now, I don't know what other churches you all have been to, but I've been to some churches where if they go over 2 hours, I was ministering at a church a friend of mine had in Fremont. I was still in Bible college. And I came back to California for a visit. And so this friend of mine, who was a pastor and a co-worker when I worked for the school district, he was actually in his last days yet from cancer. And I went to visit him. I wanted to visit him and pray for him. And he said to me, "Why don't you bring the message on Sunday? It's first Sunday. Why don't you bring the message?" And I said, "Well, his wife said, well, you know, no, it was Women's Day. That's what it was." And he said, "My wife was going to bring the message, but since you're here, why don't you bring the message?" And so on that Sunday, I did bring the message. But it was a preacher on the platform with me. And I was bringing the word, and I happened to turn around to where he was sitting. And he told me, he did that signal, you know, to cut it off. He put his finger across his throat and, you know, cut it off. And I looked at him and I thought to myself, God tells me when to cut it off, not you. But I'm telling you, you know, people try to hinder the word from going forth. These people sat all day. Jesus, the disciples said to Jesus, "The folks are hungry," but they weren't trying to leave. They were sitting there. So this little boy had these little fish, and he was willing to share that. Jesus took that and multiplied and fed the multitude. So this morning we want to talk about 5 lessons from the feeding of the 5,000. So, Father, we thank you this morning. We're always grateful for your word, and we're always grateful for your people, and we're always grateful that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And so I just ask, Father God, that you word my mouth, Father God, and cause my mind to be agreeable with your will, and everything that I do this morning, let it bring glory and honor to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, that's my alarm going off, and it's been doing that off and on for days. Now, it would pick the time that I'm getting ready to bring the word, but it's not going to shut me up, so it'll shut up in a minute. It just did. So if you have your Bible, you can look at John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. That's where I'm going to be teaching from. And so you may already be familiar with this story, because we find Jesus and his disciples watching a crowd that had been following Jesus come toward them. And Jesus asked his disciples, he asked the disciple Philip, where he thought they could buy bread for the crowd, for the crowd had not eaten in a while. And Philip stated the impossibility of them providing everyone with bread. But the disciples found a little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That was his lunch, okay? And the boy gives up his food to the disciples and Jesus. And Jesus then takes the meal and he blesses it and begins to break it into pieces. The breaking did not cease. It kept multiplying until everyone in the crowd was full. And even then, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. Can you imagine having that kind of leftovers after you fed all this multitude of people and you still got 12 baskets of leftovers? Can you relate to the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish? That's what he had. You feel that your resources are so little and wonder what God can ever do with them. Don't get discouraged. Keep your hands open. Here are the 5 lessons that we learn from John chapter 6. We learn these lessons from this little boy. You know, there's another scripture that says the little child will lead them. Well, this little boy had his little lunch. That was his lunch. And he was willing to share it. And Jesus was able to multiply it. You see, when we are following God, nothing is impossible for him. And he can cause us to be able to do things that we never thought we'd be able to do. He can cause that to happen. So we must understand that we serve a mighty God, and nothing is impossible for him. So when we look at John 6, God is in control. So in verse 6 of that chapter, we read these words. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus had asked Philip the question about buying bread, not because he wanted a solution, but because he wanted faith. None of what was transpiring caught Jesus off guard. He wasn't concerned. He was in control. The boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish saw him multiply this food firsthand. This child saw Jesus multiply that food he had firsthand. And so God doesn't need the money we possess to accomplish his mission. He isn't in heaven anxiously wringing his hands, wondering if we will step up financially so his mission can proceed. And if we don't leverage our resources for his purposes, God will not throw up his arms in exasperation and walk away from the mission dejected. No, God doesn't need us for his already victorious mission, but he does invite us to participate, to join him in victory. There's that word again, victory. And he's in control. The boy learned this on that very day that we were speaking of. You see, we get the idea that if we don't give, you know, we hold on to what we're supposed to give to God, that that's going to hinder him from doing what he needs to do, what will be done with that money. But you see, the reason that God wants us to give, he wants us to be involved in the success of what he's doing, and we get blessed as a result. We are the ones that need the blessing. He has the resources to do whatever he wants done, but he wants to include us so we can get blessed. So God doesn't need the money we possess to accomplish his mission. He isn't in heaven anxiously wringing his hands. I say that again. Wondering if we'll step up financially so his mission can proceed. And if we don't leverage our resources for his purposes, God will not throw up his arms in exasperation and walk away from the mission dejected. No, God doesn't need us for his already victorious mission, but he does invite us to participate. I'm going over that again because I want us to really understand how important it is that we give. It's important for us that we give, not important that God can't get his mission done without us giving. It's just he wants to include us in the success of whatever he's planning. Include us so we can get blessed. That's what that's all about. So God is about multiplication. As the boy handed his meal to the disciples and to Jesus, he probably wondered what difference such a small amount of food could make among the large crowd. And it would not be surprising if the boy assumed he and his meal would be turned away and asked to return to his friend or family. His meal was small, and the need was so great. But then Jesus took a hold of that food and began to break it into pieces. The small meal turned into a feast that was more than enough to fill the stomachs of the crowd. He takes that which is insufficient, and he uses it to accomplish his purpose. He took an elderly, childless couple and made a people more numerous than the stars. You know, he's talking about Sarah and Abraham here. And he used a small group of people in a house to start his global church. That's where we see the saints in the Acts chapter 2 in the upper room. Our God can take whatever is given in faith and multiply its impact in an unfathomable way for his mission. God is about multiplication. The boy learned this on that day. That young man learned about God's plan for multiplication. You know, we go to school and, you know, we get to learn our timetables, we used to call it in my day, and that's a multiplication. So we need to understand our God can take whatever is given in faith and multiply its impact in an unfathomable way for his mission. God is about multiplication. So multiplication often requires trust. We have to trust. So at some point, this little boy had to release the food he possessed. And at some point, he had to settle in his heart and in his mind that the food was not his to hold. At some point, he had to determine that he was not the one who dictated how the food would be used. Was the boy hungry in that moment? He probably was. Did the boy have doubts about whether his food could be helpful? Probably. Did the boy wonder whether his needs would be met? It's likely. But he had the faith to release the food nonetheless. He allowed Jesus to have that food. He was obedient, I like to say that. Why would we release the possession we hold? Trust. Why would we release the possession we hold? Trust. Giving and holding possessions loosely requires trust. Trust that God will use the resources for his purposes. Trust that God will care for our needs. The boy with the meal saw the few fish and loaves he once had multiply into a miraculous way. And in Jesus' hands, the small meal became great. But it took an act of trust, I'm saying that, to get the meal into Jesus' hands. Multiplication often requires trust. I can't say it enough. That boy learned this on that day. He learned that. That was a lesson he learned. And then multiplication often requires sacrifice. Sacrifice. That's a word that we don't really care about. Hearing sacrifice. It means, you know, we need to give up something, we need to share something. It means that, you know, we have to go a second mile. We don't like to hear about sacrifice. So the boy made a great sacrifice, much like the widow who gave two coins in the temple treasury. The boy gave all that was in his possession. The act was likely a painful one, maybe not physically painful, but mentally and possibly emotionally. The boy went from comfortable because he had his little lunch, having sustenance, to uncomfortable. He went from comfortable because he had this little lunch to being uncomfortable because he no longer has his little lunch. So we have to understand that that's how sacrifice works. Sacrifice drives out comfort. Sacrifice is uncomfortable. But sacrificial giving is what we find celebrated in Scripture. God looked favorably on Abel's offering because he sacrificed his best. God blessed Abraham because he was willing to sacrifice his son. Jesus pointed out the widow with two coins because she gave all she had. Biblical giving is sacrificial, and God uses the sacrifice to shape the giver's heart and advance his kingdom. Multiplication often requires sacrifice. The boy learned this on that day. So we just need to understand that sacrifice is a word that is sometimes we have a real struggle with, but the end result is it's a very important word when it comes to doing and being a part of God's work and being and doing, being obedient to God in his work. So multiplication is a result of God's work, not our work. The boy handed over his meal. That was certainly an act of trust. And here's that word again, sacrifice. But the boy did not feed the 5,000, not with that little lunch, nor did the disciples feed the 5,000. They passed the food out. The boy and the disciples were participants. They were simply participants. The people were fed by Jesus. Stomachs were full because of an act of God taking place. Apart from this act, the people would have remained hungry. His act allowed the boy to participate in God's work. The same holds true for us. God wants us to trust him with our possessions and work to advance his kingdom. But ultimately, it's not our possessions or our work that will cause the multiplication. We give in his word, but God is in control. We give and work knowing that it is God who is in control, and it is his word that causes multiplication. While we eagerly participate in his mission, he multiplies the bread and fish. Multiplication is a result of God's work, not our work. And the boy learned this on that day. We give and work, knowing that it is God who is in control, and it is his work that causes multiplication. The boy with two fishes and five loaves learned a lot that day. He learned God is in control and that he is about multiplication. He learned that multiplication often starts with an act of trust and sacrifice. And he learned that while we certainly get to participate, it is ultimately God who brings about the multiplication. So if you feel you have a little, look to the boy with two fish and five loaves. Remember what he learned that day. Trust God with your resources and let him multiply those resources in ways that you could never imagine. And you know, this is a short little teaching, but it's a powerful little teaching. And every time I have an opportunity to know about this, you know, how God is able to take what you have and multiply it, honey. He will multiply it. He will stretch it. He He just can do wonders with a little bit. You see, we look with our natural eyes and say, oh, that ain't enough to do nothing with. That little boy, why are you taking that little boy's lunch? He ain't got nothing but them two little fishes and the bread. That's all he got. And look at all these. In fact, if you read the scripture in some translations, some other translation, you will see that the disciples said to him, well, what you going to do with that little bit of food? You know, but God is God, and he always will be God. And what we take for little, he can cause it to be much. That woman, we didn't talk about the widow with her mite. The widow didn't have but a penny. The widow was there with all these folks, and they were giving their big gifts. She didn't have but a penny. But she gave that penny with a willing heart. She gave what she had, and God honored her. And, you know, if we, you know, there's so much that we can do for God, even though we might not have a lot. Even though we might not have everything that other people have, we can give our time to God. We can give our time in prayer for others. You know, I learned that ministry well because that was the first ministry that God called me to, was intercessory prayer. And when he started using me in intercessory prayer, I didn't even understand it. And but God, I asked him for that gift, you see, because that's a gift. When God puts on your heart to pray for people and you don't know what's going on with them, and you take that responsibility and follow the Holy Spirit and pray for them and let God get you up in the middle of the night to pray for people and stop you from watching your favorite TV program because you need to pray for somebody. Well, you're giving. That's giving. Because you are allowing yourself to be used. You're sacrificing your time to let God use you for someone you may or may not know. Sometimes you don't even know who you're praying for. I've had that happen. I was at the in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was in Bible college, and I was attending Faith Christian Fellowship church over in North Tulsa, and this church was founded by Buddy Harrison, who was the son-in-law of Dr. Kenneth Hagin Sr., and he was North Tulsa's, like East Palo Alto, and so he was over there. He was criticized when he started the church over there. There were two other Faith Christian Fellowship churches in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The one in North Tulsa, then there was one in South Tulsa, and then there was like Central Tulsa. That city, you know, is quite large. And so he had a work going on in either of those places. But the North Tulsa work was the first one he started, and people thought he was nuts, a white man going over there in that community in North Tulsa, because that's where most of the black folks lived at that time. And he had a large congregation, and there were many, many people of color in that congregation. And here he is over there, and they thought he was crazy. They said he had missed God, but he hadn't missed God. Because he was obedient to do what God told him, he ended up having Faith Christian Fellowship churches all over this country and outside of the country. I happen to have preached at Faith Christian Fellowship in Claremont, Jamaica. So, you know, he didn't miss God. He didn't miss God at all. He followed God's instructions, and God multiplied. Let's talk about that word, multiplied. So, Pastor Harrison, he was obedient to God, and he received criticism from his brothers and sisters, the Caucasian brothers and sisters, because he's over there in North Tulsa with that first work over there in North Tulsa, and that was the main church. The main church was in North Tulsa. That's where his office was. That's where you could find him. And that was Dr. Kenneth Hagin's son-in-law. He's now gone to home to be with the Lord. He was married to Pat. Pat Harrison is the only daughter of Dr. Kenneth Hagin. She is still alive, and still the church is alive. And not only did he have the churches that, you know, in other denominations, he would have been called a bishop, because he had supervision over all of those churches, but he didn't call himself a bishop. But that church in North Tulsa, as far as I know, is still thriving and flourishing. And he had a publishing company. God gave him a means to finance his work. He had a publishing company, and that publishing company, you can look it up, is called Harrison House. And the only reason that I didn't seek them out to publish my book was that God specifically had me use Amazon. But I'm sure if I talk to the Reverend Pat Harrison, that she would allow me to distribute my book through that publishing company, because I was a part of that ministry when I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But I'm trying to give y'all some examples of what the lesson was really about. What the sermon was about was multiplication, and it was about giving. And it was about sacrificing. Those are key words in this sermon that I, short sermon that I gave this morning. Sacrifice is mentioned a number of times. And we see giving, sharing. That little boy shared his little meager lunch. Let Jesus have that few fishes and that little bread, and Jesus fed that whole multitude. That's the return that little boy got on his giving. See, you have to be able to see, you know, let the Holy Spirit open your eyes to spiritual things. That little boy gave that what he had, and God multiplied it. He got blessed. He was used, his lunch was used by the Son of God to feed a whole multitude of people. I just get really excited when I think about that. You never know what an impact you're going to make on somebody by making a sacrifice to help. You know, you never know who you're helping. You never know how that thing is going to return to you and how you'll be blessed. You know, that little boy will be remembered. He will always be remembered. We will always remember him because he was the one that had the food that Jesus multiplied. And he was the one that was willing to share what he had and let Jesus take his little lunch and multiply it. And y'all pray for my alarm system, because that's the devil. And I know it. He don't want me to tell this. But anyway, that's a short little teaching today. But I think that if you remember those key words, remember that he shared his lunch. Remember that he made the sacrifice, because that was his lunch, okay? He made the sacrifice. He trusted Jesus. Remember we talked about trust. He trusted Jesus because he let Jesus take that lunch and multiply it. We have to remember. We have to trust. We have to trust God, because God is not a man that he would lie, nor a son of man that he would repent. If he said it, he'll bring it to pass. He keeps his promises. And so, you know, in our giving, he keeps his promises. He said that if you bring the tithes into the storehouse so that there's meat in his house, he'll open up the windows of heaven to you and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. And it's true, saints. I've been tithing for years. I can tell any of you that I've been tithing for years. And there's another scripture that David has in the Psalms, Psalm 37, I believe, is where that verse is. And it says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Honey, God is never going to let you be hungry. He's not going to let you be homeless. He's not going to do those things because you are obedient to do what he asks you to do. So whatever you need, God's got it. And when you're faithful to him, when you trust him with what you have, he will give you more. He will multiply it. So those are key words that we need to remember. He'll multiply. And we have to trust him and be able to sacrifice, you know. And that sacrifice might not even be money. It might be anything, you know. Look, let me tell you this little short testimony, and then we're going to go ahead and take communion this morning. So I'm in Tulsa, and I am somewhat of a seamstress. I used to make most of my clothes and my daughter's clothes, and I mean, I made suits. In fact, I had a little sister. I call her a little sister. She wasn't little in size, but she was younger than I, and she had these two boys, and she married this guy who was the stepfather to one of the boys, and then the other boy was here. So the oldest boy, Derek, was kind of on the chubby side like she was. So she found out I could sew. So Christmas, Easter, here she come about a month before the holiday with some material and a pattern for me to make her boy a suit because she couldn't afford to buy him the kind of suits that she wanted him to have. And you know, if you, my grandson Bill was husky when he was a little boy. If you have a husky kid, their clothes cost more. And this is a woman, she had a husband, but he wasn't supportive with his money. So anyway, we'll leave that alone. But anyway, this sister would come to me with this pattern, and she bought Vogue patterns. If anybody sews in the group, Vogue patterns are the most difficult patterns. They have a lot of pieces to them, and a lot of people that are amateurs at sewing won't even deal with the pattern because they'll get a McCall's or a Simplicity. And so anyway, here she come with that bold pattern and the material. And most times it was a white suit. And this boy is expanding, so we just kept getting larger white suits. So she come to me and asked me to make him a suit. And of course she couldn't pay me, you know, and she's my sister in the Lord. So, okay, that was my giving, okay? So I would make him a suit. And I tell you, sometimes I'd be sitting up there at night working on that suit and just saying, Lord, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do it. She's just going to have to get somebody else, or she's going to have to buy him a suit. I'm not going to do this anymore, but I do it every time, Christmas and Easter. But let me tell you something. What happened with that young man? That young man was called to preach. I got a chance to see him called to preach. And he was pastoring a church. He died young. He left here young. But I got to see the end result of my sacrifice, the end result of my giving, that God used me to help a young man that he was going to use to preach his word. Now you tell me if that's not a good dividend on your giving. You see, it don't always have to be money. It don't always have to be that, but God will bless you for your obedience. He'll bless you for your sacrifice. He'll bless you when you trust him and let him use you. So I'm going to stop now because, honey, I'm getting ready to really get busy, and I got plenty of testimonies on how God has allowed me to be involved in people's lives and to trust and to give. And like I say, it ain't always money. Sometimes it is money, but it ain't always money. Because when I sold my house in California and I was down there in Tulsa, my pastor here in California was Dick Bernal. And I was a tither. So even though I got all this money from my house, I knew I needed to tithe that money, 10% of that money. And I got some big money. And so I said, Lord, I need to tithe this money. But, you know, I don't know what to do because I'm being sitting under the leadership of Pastor Harrison, but I want to make sure that I include Pastor Bernal should get some of this money too, because I was there first, and he was the first one to let me know about Rhema and about what you were getting ready to do with me. And so the Lord said, well, send him an offering. Send an offering to your pastor in California. But you owe the tithe. He didn't say owe. He said the tithe needs to go who feeds you now, and that is Pastor Harrison. Well, I didn't know. Pastor Harrison had a bad experience with helping some minister with some money, and I guess the money didn't go for what it was supposed to do. Anyway, he owed the church some money. Okay, his church. And I never knew that. I didn't know anything about that. So anyway, God told me to tithe the 10% of that money I got from my house to Pastor Harrison's church, to Faith Christian Fellowship. And I did that. You see, you need to understand that where you get fed is where you tithe or you give, because God has put you there and you're being fed. You know, and I'm not saying that to do a stewardship message this morning, but I'm trying to show you that when God gives you what he gives you, you need to support that he has given you and where you got it from. Don't sound right. But anyway, what I want to say to you this morning is that sacrificial giving is very important. And I'm going to finish this up by saying that I got to a point in Tulsa, Oklahoma, while I was waiting for that house to be sold, that I could not even buy gas for my car. That's how broke I was. And I went to prayer that morning, intercessory prayer. And when I went to intercessory prayer, there was a woman there. She was one of the intercessors at our Faith Christian Fellowship. She was the intercessor. She was a prayer warrior. And so when the prayer meeting was over, she said to me, and I've shared this before, come go to my house with me and have breakfast. Well, I didn't know this woman. I'd seen her, and I knew who she was because she was in leadership in the church. And so I said, oh, okay. And so I went to her house. We had breakfast. I sat around there, and every time I said I got to go, she'd start talking to me about something else. And so it looked like I couldn't leave. And then finally she said to me, you know, the Lord is speaking to me, and he's saying that you need some help. And, you know, you look like everything's going good for you. And I had told her about how I was waiting for the money from the house and all of that. She said, you look like you're doing good. She said, but the Lord keeps telling me that I need to help you. So what do you need? That woman gave me everything from lipstick to fragrance to, she had a grocery store in her garage, a freezer full of meat. She sent me home with everything that I needed until my next money came. She even gave me some money to buy gas for my car. I didn't ask her for anything, but God spoke to her. Let me tell you what, if you're in need and you ask God to help you, he will have somebody help you. And you see, we always try to pick out people to help us. No, you don't do that. You just tell God, I need you, and he will bless you, and he will have others bless you if you trust him. If you sacrifice for him, if you obedient to him, I'm adding obedience because obedience came first. This brother couldn't do nothing if he hadn't been, this little boy couldn't have shared his lunch if he hadn't been obedient. So with that said, I'm going to stop. I don't know who I'm talking to, and I don't even need to know. I'm just saying that if you trust God, you make the sacrifice, God will repay. pay you. He will make sure you're taken care of. And again, I give that scripture in Psalms that says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. God put that on the heart of David the psalmist, and I'm sure it's in Psalms 37. But if it's not, and you can't find it, I'll find it for you if you want to know. Because that is a powerful word. Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. And that's the truth. I can testify to that. So I'm done. We need to take communion. And certainly I know that this is, Reverend said he had to go to work and all of that. So we're going to take communion real quickly. And so I warned everybody to have their little juice and cracker. And I'm going to read the scripture, and then we'll go ahead and take communion. And then we'll dismiss. That's my message for this morning, and I'm sticking to it. That 5 and 3 loaves of fishes and 5 loaves of bread. So here we are. So we're going to... look at 1 Corinthians, and we're looking at chapter 11, and we're looking at verse 23, and it says, and if you have your elements, get your elements. I didn't say that. Your little cheese and cracker. I just see what I did with mine. I just had it over there. And we're going to look at this scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And it says, for I have passed on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So with that said, we'll take the bread. And we'll eat the bread this morning in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ going to Calvary for us. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Shall we drink? Praise the Lord. We thank God this morning, Father God. We thank you. We praise you. You allowed us to sit at your table this morning. You allowed us to celebrate the death and birth, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that he is not dead. He's very much alive, sitting at the right hand of the throne of grace. And we give you praise and glory for the opportunity to celebrate his resurrection at your table. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Just about done.
Amen.
So, Reverend, I see you still with us, so I'm going to ask you to dismiss us. I hope y'all got something out of this. It may have been for me, but I shared it with you about the sacrifice. Remember the sacrifice, the trust. You have to trust. and know that God keeps his word.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Thank you for that word, Pastor. We know that God will multiply. We know if Jesus fed the multitude, then why wouldn't he feed us? So,
that's right.
And I'm not only talking about food, I'm talking about in word as well. So we do thank you for that. We thank you for that message. We thank you for that word. I'm going to spread it as soon as I get off work. And I'm going to make sure it goes on my podcast and hope the other people will get that word and understand that word, because I got a good understanding out of that. Yeah,
Praise God. We
need to be thankful for what we have now, and he will multiply us. If we can't be thankful for what we got now, then why would he give us more? I mean, some people would love to have what we have. So I'm just saying what a little extra what I got out of that, too. So,
well,
amen.
That's what you heard. Amen.
Amen.
That's what you
heard,
the Holy Spirit gave you.
Amen.
So praise God.
Amen. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the messenger, Father God. And we pray, Father God, that everyone here hearing this word, and for the ones that hear this word later, Father God, carry this word with them, Father God, because we know that you are a multiplier, Father God. We know, Father God, that your people multiply from your word, Father God, and the things you have done for us already, Father God. We already always need to thank you for those things, Father God. We may think it's a little, Father God, but that little can be a lot, Father God. So we just thank you. We just thank you, Father God. And as we carry on our week, we just pray that there you are with us in the midst, Father God. We're just going to give you praise this morning. We're going to give you praise, honor, and glory, because we all know it all belongs to you. And we thank you, Father God. We just thank you this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, everybody.
Blessed day.
All righty, y'all too. All righty.
Have a blessed day.